Got any questions about our Black Friday sale? Well, unfortunately, this podcast isn't live, but I did ask a bunch of questions on Instagram, and these are some of the answers. Welcome back to another T-Rex Talk, where we're going to be discussing a little bit of an after action from our Black Friday sale, which went incredibly well, thanks to you guys and a bunch of new customers. Somebody asking, why isn't my order here yet? It's right over there. It's right over there, I bet. What changes did we implement from last year to this year? So one of the biggest changes between last year and this year is we added a ton of new product to the T-Rex website this year. It was a huge, huge push from the entire team, and we added a ton of new stuff. Not as many product categories as previous years, maybe, but we did add things like helmets and night vision mounts and night vision itself. So yeah, now that I think about it, actually, we did add a bunch of new product categories and a bunch of new products and some new colorways. So there were just a bunch of things in the warehouse this year that weren't in the warehouse last year. And we did the sale a little bit differently. We did a Kydex sale early on, then we did a newsletter sale, then we did the actual Black Friday sale. So slightly different, Will there be a T-Rex talk about this year's Black Friday sale? Spoiler alert, I'm recording that T-Rex talk right now. I gotta confess to you guys that the T-Rex Talk podcast is not exactly a weekly podcast. If you average them out, it's about every 8 days, which feels like a weekly podcast, but it actually isn't. And I'm sorry that I didn't have one for you last week. There was a lot of stuff going on and I missed it. And I didn't really write one for this week. So, answering any questions that you might have. Someone is asking, what happened with the MC Arid AC-1s, the Multicam Arid AC-1s? Why such a good sale on them? Well, we overestimated how much you guys were gonna like those things, and so we had a lot of them. Will your dad return to the podcast? That is actually a fantastic question and a fantastic idea. I do need to absolutely do that. So thank you for the reminder. How old are you and David? Can't answer that question. That's privileged information. Kind of like exact numbers on the sale, exact numbers on the ages is top secret. So cannot be discussed. This will be a very interesting podcast episode for people listening that don't understand that it was a T-Rex Arms Instagram Live, because this is not how I talk during normal podcast episodes. I don't just say random questions and then answer them. I don't actually ask questions of myself, like, are we going to meet up at SHOT Show this year? The short answer is yes. No, I'm answering questions on the Instagram Live, and we're going to see how this goes. A rough estimate on how many people were trying to access on the opening day of the sale. So, shockingly, a number of you were awake early on the wee hours of that first, the first hours of the sale. So many that you actually did break the website for a few minutes, but only for some of you. Only some of you couldn't get in. And it was only for a few minutes, but that still is something that we kind of feel bad about. That is the number of people. Enough to break the website. Many thousands. Is T-Rex going to make videos on thermal and its application? Yes, I'm starting to write a list of things to cover inside of future T-Rex videos, 2024 videos. And thermal has been on the list for a while, so it's gonna do, there's a couple of different things that I wanna try to do with that. We've been talking to different thermal people, and so we're gonna do that. Someone asking, will there be any more videos on digital night vision? As newer scopes are released, we will talk about digital night vision. Also, there is a new firmware update for the new Psionics scope, the one that we made a video about almost exactly a year ago. So depending on what your expectations are, new firmware like a year after release is either not as many firmware updates as you would expect or more, but I definitely want to try the new firmware upgrade. That would have been a good thing to do on Thursday with the kids for Thanksgiving. And I can see a number of people working on the random ATAC research. That is what it is. The ATAC research is pretty pretty random. I have some specific things that I'm trying to accomplish, but mostly I just see guys like Nick Chen and others doing random ATAC stuff, and it is extremely interesting to see how that is developing. And I think that it is time to revisit ATAC. In many ways, ATAC is exactly as frustrating as it has always been, as difficult to tinker with and to use, but it is easier to get into now that ATAC is on the Google Play Store. It's a lot easier for people to install, and the version that's on there allows plugins, and there are plugins that are on the Play Store as well. So you can actually tinker with the Hammer plugin and some of the other things that that you might want to mess with. And there's an upcoming plugin for Garmin watches. So if you have a Tactics or an Epix or a Phoenix or one of the Ix watches, you will actually be able to see your ATAC COTS icons on the watch screen itself on top of the Garmin map. So that's a kind of a cool thing that's coming out if you think that is useful, having some of those icons on your watch. It's super cool. And if you already thought that ATAC was hard to use on a tiny screen, maybe you don't want to use a tinier screen. Can Garmin devices be jailbroken? So this is not something that I have kept up with recently, but Garmin devices are like all computer devices. They are little tiny computers, and you can mess with them. But I don't know of any useful functional jailbreaking things. There are actually a lot of things that you can do without jailbreaking the particular watch. You can just download some really cool apps directly from their app store that give you a lot of functionality. So if you have a thing that you want your Garmin watch to do that it can't do yet, you may not need to jailbreak it. You may just need to develop an app for it. There's a lot of sensors and data and things that are available to you if you are a Garmin watch programmer. So that would be worth doing. Did you model your Black Friday multi-day sales strategy from other companies? How did you design your strategy? That is a question for Kyle. Kyle did most of the planning, but it was probably more based on past experience than what we see other companies doing. And a lot of times we have specific goals in mind. Sometimes we have things like, oh, I don't know, slightly too many multi-cam Arid AC1 chest rigs or plate carriers. And we decide that that's going to inform what some of the sales ratios are gonna be. Someone is asking, did you get your family involved to help out for Black Friday? Yes, my kids have made many sidecar hardware packets for Black Friday. I think they're doing about 2,000 a week, something like that. So yeah, it's actually pretty impressive for people of that age. Ah, this is an excellent question. Thoughts on the GhostNet from S2 Underground. So for those of you that don't know, the GhostNet is just a standard ham radio net that has been organized by S2 Underground. It happens, I believe, on 40-meter band at a very specific time. It is weekly, has specific frequencies and specific time every week, and people just jump on there, and it's just a way where like-minded people who want to be on the same net at the same time and the same frequency can jump on and talk to each other. You don't actually need a really fancy HF transceiver to participate in the net, only to talk. If you want to listen, you can do that using relatively small SDRs like this. I say that having not actually tried it yet. I've done similar things with small shortwave receivers, but I'm gonna see if I can get this one working, decode those JS8 call messages, and I will be able to give you more input on how that is working in the future. But I am looking forward to messing with that. And I do think that weekly or, you know, some other scheduled HF nets are kind of great for a lot of the things that we've talked about. It's an incredible opportunity to experiment with your gear, get more proficient with it, meet and talk to like-minded people, and build out something that we don't really have at the moment, which is completely decentralized chat rooms. There used to be all kinds of decentralized chat rooms back in the day. You would just dial into, partially centralized, you would just dial into bulletin board services and IRC servers and IRQ servers. And now pretty much everything happens on Instagram and Facebook and so forth. So being able to do this without servers at all over HF is kind of cool. So have you used this SDR with Windows 11? Should I go back to 10? It seems okay on 11, but I've only messed with a couple of different types of softwares. So I highly recommend that you guys experiment with SDRs because they are very small, they're very affordable, and they can do an awful lot of stuff. They do so much for $30-ish. It's something that everybody should tinker with, and More conversation about receiving radios is on the to-do list for 2024. What items sold out the most for this Black Friday sale? RMRs sold out the fastest, I think. I think out of everything, RMRs were the quickest to sell out because they were running a rebate. So we actually sold a ton of them before the sale even started. And then once things kicked off, there was no hope for getting an RMR after that. What is the average build time for night vision devices? We do not build the night vision devices in-house. Nocturnality does that. So I highly recommend that you reach out to him to get some information about that. I'm not sure if he talks so much about how long his builds take, but he can walk you through some of the steps. He has posts walking through some of the steps there on how he goes about constructing those things from the tubes and the housings and the optics and so forth. What were the lessons learned from this Black Friday? So we're going to do a proper internal after-action report on Black Friday to try to figure some of these things out. There were definitely a few little miscommunications and mistakes that happened internally, but for some aspects of the work, we're not at the end of Black Friday. We're still middle or halfway through Black Friday when it comes to this side of the shop. Someone asking if I have a thermal monocular recommendation. So I've heard a whole bunch of different things about the Chinese thermals and their qualities and capabilities, but based on their price points, those are pretty good. The Pulsar units are surprisingly good for their price points as well. So some of the stuff from iRay or some of the stuff from Pulsar actually pretty good, all things considered. And then if you really think that that the quality is too low, you can spend way more than that real easily. Here's a question. Do you think there's any possibility of getting full-sized pistol light performance out of a TLR7? So interestingly, the TLR7 gives you 500 lumens of light. It was not that long ago that 500 lumens of light was in fact the most that you could ever expect from a full-sized pistol light. So the expectations are changing along with the technical capabilities. I think that small lights will in fact be able to spit out more lumens, but there are expectations of full-sized pistol lights will move along at roughly the same speed. So people will always assume that that is not quite enough. Hang on one second here while I tweak some settings. And if you're listening to the podcast, you won't hear this part because I'm going to edit it out. People are expecting more candela from lights now than from lumens. That is an excellent point. So that is something that I believe is a little bit more tricky to get out of small packages. As batteries improve and voltage controllers improve and LEDs improve, you can always get more light out of them. But focusing that light, there are some physical constraints to that that are much harder to overcome. I wonder if Fresnel lenses might be a thing that we see for compact long throw pistol lights in the future? Or are we going to see pistol mounted LEPs, laser enhanced stuff? That would be kind of interesting. I'd be curious to see who is tinkering with that right now. But it's probably going to be, Streamlight doing some of the innovation and actually Olight. As much as we throw shade at Olight for things that totally are deserving of shade, I do want to point out Olight does innovate. I mean, they do try new and interesting things all the time. So just saying it. People are asking for more comms, low raw, radio, GPS. Sure. There's a lot of stuff that needs to be done. The biggest bottleneck for some of these things is actually not so much that there isn't a good place to put them. In fact, some of that content I think does better on YouTube than a lot of other types of content. But just, we got to do the research, before we make those videos so that we're, you know, correct in our assumptions and assertions. Is this your favorite Black Friday year? Kind of. I would say that this year has been super fun making hardware packets with the kids. That is a highlight. One thing that I have not been able to do this year is I haven't made any holsters in the back with the production guys. So I have gotten to work with kids, that's great, but I haven't gotten to work with the production guys. And I think there will be time for that. I think that there is enough work. But I do actually kind of miss the old days where I would dive in and pitch in with all the different production stuff that was going on. Back when all T-Rex did was make holsters, all Black Friday was holsters, and all Black Friday recovery was just making holsters as fast as possible. And I do kind of miss that sprint. That was back when I did most of the holster jobs. In fact, one Black Friday is when I famously made a whole bunch of seconds on a buffing wheel, and I was banned from buffing. Someone says there's not a good curated place for solid radios. This is a good point, and we've talked to some radio manufacturers about this. There's a couple of reasons for it. One of them is that a lot of the radio sellers themselves don't often have solid radios in large quantities. They have certain things in stock for a while and certain things in stock for another while, and that's why even some of these companies that do a really good job of, you know, importing and sometimes rebadging and working with radios don't always have solid stock in place. It makes me, I would say, just a little bit pessimistic about somebody like T-Rex coming along and solving the radio problem. I do think that it would be important to curate a radio and then try to carry it, but sometimes the production of these amateur radios or hobbyist radios or duty radios, a lot of times those just change wildly. Either there's a specific electrical item in there that is affected by some sort of supply chain issue. And then with the duty radios, sometimes there are duty radios that are available, and then suddenly there's a gigantic government order that really takes all of Motorola's production offline for a little while as they fulfill that order. So I don't know that this is a problem that can necessarily be solved when the interest in radios is so incredibly up and down. If we were to make people interested in radios so widely that there is a solid, consistent demand, it would be a much easier problem to solve. But as it is, ham radio trends go like this, government orders go like this, so radio stock also kind of goes like this. But that is something that I am thinking about, and thank you for pointing it out. What is a good camo that is not issued, in your opinion? Oh, there's so many good camos not being issued. Can't even start on that. Any point in getting a hobby-grade flashlight and potting the boards myself? So, Candle Power Forums would be a place where I would go to get esoteric flashlight knowledge. It's not something that I'm really up to speed on, but that is really interesting. I've been learning a little bit more about potting of electronics for waterproofing, weatherproofing, shockproofing, and it's interesting. It's an interesting thing to do at scale, but it's also interesting to do yourself. I would do a little bit of research on specific boards and controllers before I probably did that. Actually, that's not true. I would just experiment. I would just experiment and burn up some flashlights. That's probably what I would do. Do you think in this age the Palm Pilot could make a comeback? Guys, we are way off of Black Friday. We are no longer even remotely on topic. The short answer is no. The long answer is I kind of wish it would. I have some e-ink devices that are extremely simple and single use, and I wish that they were as open and reprogrammable and useful as Palm Pilots. I actually am really, really interested in a rock solid, bomb-proof, super open, super basic e-ink device for books and maps and MP3 files and other things like that. I think it would have a ton of different uses, but I don't think anyone would want it because they'd much rather have the iPhone 17 or whatever and watch, you know, movies at 8K on a tiny screen, that sort of thing. Will there be a Christmas sale? I don't anticipate that we'll have a Christmas sale this year. Certainly not to jump on top of some of the out-of-stock items. There are items that we ran out of stock of, and we will get more of them, but we will probably not get more of them and restock and reinspect and resupply everything in time for there to be a Christmas sale. Some things we might, but a lot of things we probably couldn't do that quickly. And then there's a few things that were on sale on Black Friday that will not be restocked. So yeah, you may speculate wildly as to what those things are. Next year's election impact on Black Friday. So that's an excellent question. My anticipation, my guess, is that election years traditionally have been very strong for the firearm industry, and with the small amount of data, the 10 years of data that we have, those are kind of a big deal for T-Rex as well. So I would guess that we will be pretty busy this time next year in this very warehouse. I would be kind of surprised if we weren't. Worst thing that happened on Black Friday. I'm not going to say what it was, but if you're on the newsletter, you already saw it. You already got the apology. So yeah, that's probably the worst thing that happened. Are Black Friday sales good enough to possibly justify a mid-summer sale? So this is a very interesting thing. A lot of companies don't actually turn a profit until Black Friday. That's why they call it Black Friday. This is when you sell enough volume of your stuff that you've accumulated, the inventory that you've been buying all year. This is when you actually go from the red into the black, traditionally, for certain kinds of retailers in different kinds of spaces. So one of the things that a lot of companies do is have this specific year-end sale so that they can do a lot of their fiscal stuff and be ready, convert a lot of this inventory into cash, because the IRS wants tax money and they want the tax money to be cash. They don't want the tax money to be these items here. IRS is not cool with bartering. They only want cash. So different companies that have different business models are going to be doing Black Friday sales for different reasons. And Amazon has tried very hard to make a midsummer sale, Prime Day, into a national recognized, fully nationwide retail holiday for this very reason. Make customers expect to do a lot of spending in the middle of the year. And if that catches on, who are we kidding? It's Amazon. It's already pretty much caught on. People will just plan spending around the middle of the year instead of the end of the year, and they'll be spending twice as much, probably. Did multicam Arid finally die? Someone asks. Have no idea if multicam Arid is completely dead, but I will say people were super excited about multicam Arid a few years ago, and it appears that they're not super excited about it now. Does T-Rex ever intentionally overstock products? Would you all try to stay consistent with current stock? So T-Rex stocks product deeper than is traditionally expected. There's a whole bunch of different theories as to how deep you should stock product. Just-in-time manufacturing says that you try to have stuff not sit on the shelf. You get your raw materials in as you use them with as little waste as possible. And retail operations that involve warehouse have a different set of algorithms and metrics and plans that people swear by. But generally speaking, we try to stock a little deeper than most people because it's better to be resilient and prepared to serve customers. And a lot of the products that we have are emergency products. In an emergency where the supply chain is interrupted is oftentimes when people want these products the most. And so we stock a little deeper and a little heavier than a lot of people do, simply because the nature of the product and then the nature of our mission to do that. And interestingly, it was one of our goals that we put into place early in 2020, was go from having a month's worth of stock in place for raw materials, having 3 months of stock in place of raw materials. And if you remember what happened in the beginning of 2020, you will remember that that was a really, really good call. And I think most of the credit goes to David Botkin for that one. That was one of his initiatives, one of his goals for 2020, was to stock way deeper on stuff. And that actually gave us a huge head start, because there were some major supply chain issues that year, and demand was higher than normal for a lot of stuff. Can't remember why that was. It was a fad, I think. Pretty sure it was just a fad. Speaking of fads, someone asks, are camouflage patterns the equivalent of different fashion seasons? They are. That is exactly what they are. Although I will say, multicam Arid, I see it as a seasonal camouflage here in Tennessee. It is a fantastic camouflage for autumn, and paired with some white, I think it works well in the winter. And then something that is green, like just completely green, is what you want to wear for T-Rex associated activities in Middle Tennessee in the summertime, because everything is just green. People asking for more content on YouTube. I have some YouTube videos coming very soon. When will Springfield Echelon holsters be released? Couldn't possibly comment on those. Did you personally pick up any gear on Black Friday? I did order some stuff. I didn't actually order stuff that was necessarily on sale. I just ordered some stuff that was on my to-get list. So most of it wasn't tactical gear. Some of it was radio gear, actually, now that I think about it. Some radio test equipment. Just some random stuff. Random stuff that might come in handy for various tests, experiments. Any recommendations for first carry guns? Yeah, Glock 19 is the best full-size. It's interesting. Again, we talked earlier about how the expectations for flashlights have changed, so that having 100 lumens used to be an amazing duty light, then 300, then 500. And now people are asking the question, why is the TLR7 not up to par with regular duty lights that offer 1,000 lumens? But the opposite has happened with firearms. It used to be that the Glock 19 was a compact firearm, and now it is kind of the standard full-size firearm. The subcompacts, people have sort of forgotten about, and then the little micro nines, the Glock 48, the SIG P365, yeah, Smith & Wesson, Shield. These are now little guns, and 19s and M&P 2.0s and so forth. These are full-size guns, so expectations change all the time. But any of those small carry guns, if you want a really small carry gun, Glock 48, Glock 43, excellent. And then if you want a full-sized compact gun, you can get yourself the 19. I think those are no-brainer firearms to have. Which actor slash celebrity will you showcase for the next political video? Okay, that is a good question. So this happened kind of accidentally. I used a bunch of Kevin Costner clips in the first video, the suppressor video, and I thought that was funny. So I just put a whole bunch more Kevin Costner in the video, and then I thought that was even funnier, so I cut out any clips of anybody that wasn't Kevin Costner, and that was the video. And then the History of Glock video obviously needed to have lots of Tommy Lee Jones in it, because there's a couple of funny clips that I remembered from The Fugitive. So yeah, I will take your recommendations on topics, but also on actors who should be in there. And then the other thing that I have toyed with doing is, because there's only so many actors and they only have so many lines and so many movies, what if I just took clips from all kinds of actors and all kinds of movies, and then I just deep faked Kevin Costner's face on all of them? So Kevin Costner in Die Hard, Kevin Costner in Indiana Jones, like, yeah, just across the board. Probably won't get around to that. It's a very silly use of AI research and development time, but it would make me laugh while I'm editing the video. Did you guys add any items to the sale during Black Friday you did not initially intend to? Not exactly. We're very intentional here. So we intended to do all the things that we did. Very intentional. Yes. Any more formalized classes for radio GPS navigation solutions? So this is an interesting question. I'm not aware of a whole lot of training in this area just in general. There are ham radio groups, but even those ham radio groups, I'm not aware of too many that offer really good initial training. I definitely know of groups that will help you get licensed. They will help you with practice tests and various things like that. And then, of course, they will do the actual licensing tests. And I know of ham radio groups that will get together and do projects together. But a lot of those are for already established hams that are working on complicated or contesting or fox hunting or stuff like that. I'm not aware of too many classes that sort of get you into a thing. And I'm not aware of classes on how to do GPS and navigation stuff outside of... There are orienteering groups who have introductory classes on things. So I would find out if there's anybody doing orienteering inside of your local community in your area, because they will help you with some of those navigation things, some of those map reading components. Ham radio it just varies so much area to area. And I think that it's something that we should work on, because I definitely have seen a lot of training companies appear, like develop, come out of nowhere. Guys start training companies to focus on specific types of firearm instruction, specific types of medical instruction, specific types of night vision instruction. So doing that with radios and doing that with land navigation and other aspects, other skills, other hard skills, I think would be really, really helpful. So I'm going to keep an eye out for that. I think that would be something that is worthwhile for people who have those skills to start teaching other people. And, you know, maybe you begin doing it on a fairly low intensity, low level, not super highfalutin, not super formalized, and then turn it into an actual repeatable curriculum. I would recommend that. Someone says there's a Mojave Repeater does a class. Actually, that is interesting. I forgot about that. Yeah, look up Mojave Repeater on Instagram. That's his handle. He has teamed up with some guys doing classes. I'm not sure if it's a regular thing or if they wait for the interest to build up. But thank you for reminding me of that. That is a, he's a great resource. Any special gear that you can say you guys are testing, like the compensator that Lucas kind of showcased? Yeah, kind of showcased. Nope. I can't talk about any special stuff that I'm testing. Apart from some radio stuff that I mentioned before. The version 4 of the RTL SDR, I'm messing with it right now. Thanks for fast shipping. Did my Black Friday at 1:30 a.m. and received my package on Sunday afternoon in East Tennessee. Yeah, the team here at the warehouse is killing it. And the team over in production, even faster, I think. It's a little harder to tell because what production does usually takes a little bit longer than what happens over here. So it's a little hard to figure out who's actually faster, but everybody is just cranking stuff out. All that noise that you hear over there is, in fact, stuff being loaded onto a truck to go out to you guys. Fosatec is back, and he plans to test the SDR SDK. Absolutely. I really want to test that. I'm really glad that he's back. So I'm excited to see what happens with that project. And when he came back, he showcased some cool new software features for that double SDR thing. Wide scanning of big chunks of spectrum and then dialing in, listening directly to small chunks of spectrum at the same time. It's a cool software feature that I'm looking forward to messing with. So I need one more good question, you guys. We're going to finish this out on one more good question. Really deep and substantial. There's a bunch of people asking for leaks. You know, a really solid, substantial leak would, in fact, be a fun way to close this out. But, you know, I can't possibly do that. That wouldn't be right. Sticker packs, not going to comment on sticker packs. Spoilers, no spoilers. I'm waiting for the really perfect, substantial closer question from you guys. Biggest category jump in sales over last Black Friday. Oh, I'd have to do some serious math on that. Holster did really well, and armor did really well. Armor has done substantially well over the last 4 years. The last three especially, thanks to you guys. Not only do I credit you guys with that because you bought it, but also so many of you guys buying armor and telling your friends about it and wearing it to the range. You guys are the ambassadors for armor. Those of you who wear it around deserve a huge amount of the credit for all of the armor sales that we have accumulated over the years and all the armor sales that other guys have accumulated over the years. So I gotta say, we couldn't have done it without you. It's actually incredible how much armor we have sold, which is, now that I think about it, a pretty good way to close this. Someone is asking, what are you most thankful for this year? And I think that it is really interesting to look back on stuff that has sold well. And armor is a perfect example of something that has performed super well. And I'm not just excited about it from a business perspective because selling a lot of armor means good cash flow for the company. I'm excited about armor because armor is something that is expensive, it is heavy, it is uncomfortable. If you guys are buying armor, that means that you're actually thinking very proactively and intentionally about protecting yourself and protecting others. It isn't a very good impulse buy. It isn't a luxury buy. It is something where you are very deliberately buying armor because you have very specific duty requirements that you are thinking about. You're thinking about stuff that we want you to be thinking about. So high armor sales means people taking responsibility seriously and thinking about stuff very seriously. So that's one of the reasons that high armor sales are really encouraging. And that's one thing that I am super thankful for. I don't know that this year armor did better, you know, by ratio than other years, but I do know that when armor started selling well in 2020 and then kept selling well, we saw culturally, I think, a little bit of a corner being turned from armor being this weird niche product to something that serious citizens have. And that became normal. And that became something that we see not just at T-Rex, but across the larger industry. The number of people selling armor now is a lot higher because the number of people interested in armor is a lot higher. So I am super thankful for that. Yes, the sales of armor were good. They were strong. I'm really thankful for that. But more than that, I'm thankful that the demand for armor is high and the number of people supporting armor is high. This decentralized interest in armor from Sirius citizens and other companies is high. And that increase is good. Yes, a lot of journalists might look at that and say, well, this is a bad trend. People being worried about the future, people being scared, people buying armor out of fear and terror. But I actually think that it is a really good trend because it shows that Sirius citizens are being more deliberate about their responsibilities, their personal responsibilities. So I'm very thankful for that. It may not be the thing that I'm the most thankful for from the entire year, but it's up there. It's up there because I think that it reflects a lot of different things about the industry in general, Americans in general, our customers specifically. I just find it hugely encouraging. So thank you very much for joining me on this completely ad hoc, unplanned Instagram Live. You guys gave me some good questions. You guys gave me some other questions, but you guys gave me enough good questions that this feels like a relatively substantial podcast episode here. It doesn't feel like it's completely filler. So we'll post it. This is the podcast. Even though Thanksgiving is over, I want you to continue to be deliberately thankful from now up until Christmas. You have some stuff that you bought, perhaps, that you can be thankful for. You have some opportunities to spend time with your family. You have another holiday that is family-centered coming up that you can sit down and be deliberately thankful for everything that Christmas represents. So I want you, as a homework assignment, to just continue to be thankful. It's not just something that we do last Thursday. It is something that we should work on consistently over time, but it's definitely something that we should be doing between now and Christmas and then on into the new year. So I'm thankful for you guys. I'm thankful for how much you have normalized armor. I thank you for how many of you are thinking deliberately about radio capabilities and other things, other useful tools that you could use to serve others. And I'm hoping that you had a great Thanksgiving and that you will have a great Christmas. And now I'm gonna go check on some more stuff that needs to be done so that we can finish Black Friday out properly. Have a great rest of your week. If you've ordered stuff from T-Rex, it might have just got loaded on the truck as we were speaking.